Have you ever felt the ground shift beneath your feet? Not physically, but in your understanding of what matters? On November 1st, 1755, the earth literally moved in Lisbon. Within minutes, 40,000 people were dead. Churches collapsed during All Saints' Day Mass. Across Europe, people struggled with a haunting question. If this is God's plan, what kind of God are we dealing with? A six-year-old boy named Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, hundreds of miles away in Frankfurt, heard adults whispering in confusion and fear. Their certainty had cracked. This wasn't the first time humanity faced such questions. For seven centuries, a particular group of thinkers had been wrestling with what it means to be human without relying on divine blueprints. They called themselves humanists. Their journey, from plague-ravaged Italy to the salons of Paris, from the horrors of slavery to the trenches of two world wars, reveals something profound about our capacity to create meaning in an uncertain universe. In 14th century Italy, amid plague and chaos, Petrarch and Boccaccio abandoned practical careers for literature, obsessing over ancient texts and treating long-dead authors as living friends. Petrarch discovered Cicero's personal letters in a cathedral library, thrilled to find a great orator wasn't a marble statue, but a flawed, relatable human. He wrote his own letters for posterity, sometimes addressing dead authors directly. When plague killed his beloved Laura and countless friends, his response was defiant: write more, preserve more. Boccaccio took action. Discovering no Latin translations of Homer existed, he convinced Florence to create Western Europe's first Greek professorship, hosting the translator in his home for 3 years. Their successors became manuscript hunters, venturing into monastery libraries like treasure seekers. Poggio Bracciolini discovered lost works of Cicero, architectural treatises, and Lucretius's poem about atoms and a universe without divine intervention, texts they saw as prisoners rescued from dungeons. Not all humanists were gentle scholars. Lorenzo Valla combined brilliant detective work with intellectual violence. He demolished the Donation of Constantine, a document claiming the Pope owned half of Europe, by proving it was a medieval forgery. His evidence? The Latin used words that didn't exist in Constantine's time. It was like finding a letter from George Washington mentioning the internet. Valla escaped the Inquisition through powerful patrons. Others weren't so lucky. In 1460s Rome, scholars formed an academy where they wore laurel wreaths and staged ancient plays. The Pope arrested 20 of them for heresy. Their crime was taking ancient culture too seriously. Marsilio Ficino and Giovanni Pico della Mirandola developed bolder ideas. Pico's Oration on the Dignity of Man imagined God telling Adam that unlike other creatures with fixed natures, humans could choose what to become: beast-like, angelic, or uniquely variable. We weren't just God's creation, we were works in progress, self-determining. The ideal of the universal man emerged, someone like Leonardo da Vinci or Leon Battista Alberti, excelling at everything from architecture to athletics. Alberti claimed he could jump over a man from standing and throw an apple over a church. Whether true or not, the aspiration mattered. Humans could develop themselves into something magnificent. The ideal of the universal man emerged, someone like Leonardo da Vinci or Leon Battista Alberti, excelling at everything from architecture to athletics. Alberti claimed he could jump over a man from standing and throw an apple over a church. Whether true or not, the aspiration mattered. Humans could develop themselves into something magnificent. For centuries, medical students read Galen's ancient texts while barbers did the actual cutting during dissections. When corpses didn't match the book, like Galen's description of blood vessels that only exist in sheep, people assumed the body was wrong. Andreas Vesalius changed everything. As a student, he collected body parts from execution sites. As a professor at Padua, he did the cutting himself while lecturing. His 1543 masterwork featured stunning illustrations of human figures, likely executed criminals, standing in heroic poses despite being anatomically opened. The message? Look at the body itself, not just what ancient authorities claimed. This questioning spirit spread north. Erasmus, born illegitimately in Rotterdam, escaped traumatic monastic education to become Europe's most celebrated scholar. Unlike Italian humanists who served princes and popes, he championed a middle way, educated, civilized, skeptical of dogma, and deeply opposed to war. Michel de Montaigne took skepticism further. Living through France's religious wars, he retreated to his tower to write essays exploring every aspect of being human, from thumbs to cannibals. His philosophy? Play the man well and properly, while recognizing we're all beautifully flawed. When Lisbon's earthquake struck, Leibniz's followers claimed it proved we live in the best of all possible worlds. God's perfect plan required occasional mass death. Voltaire was disgusted. His satire Candide mocked this through Pangloss, who maintains all is for the best, even while experiencing earthquake, near hanging, and enslavement. Voltaire championed meliorism. The world isn't perfect, but we can improve it through human effort. Diderot's encyclopedia placed man at the center, documenting all knowledge. When authorities tried shutting it down, they smuggled manuscripts in false-bottomed suitcases. These thinkers proposed something radical. Morality doesn't require God. It springs from our natural capacity for empathy, fellow feeling. David Hume, known as the atheist, was also called Le Bon David for his unfailing kindness. When James Boswell visited the dying Hume in 1776, expecting deathbed conversion, he found Hume cheerfully discussing his impending end without fear. Yet, these enlightened men had glaring blind spots. Hume wrote that non-white people were naturally inferior. Rousseau insisted girls needed only to learn pleasing husbands. Voltaire, who studied with brilliant mathematician Emily du Châtelet, considered it a compliment calling her a great man whose only defect was being a woman. For those excluded from universal man, claiming full humanity was revolutionary. Mary Wollstonecraft's 1792 Vindication demanded women be considered in the grand light of human creatures. Frederick Douglass, born into slavery, discovered literacy as his pathway to freedom. When his master forbade reading, Douglass learned secretly, understanding that language enables critical thinking and human connection. Education became the path to flourishing. Wilhelm von Humboldt redesigned Prussia's schools in 1809, believing character develops when unfolded from the inner life of the soul. John Stuart Mill emphasized that freedom, diversity, and development nourish each other. His recovery from depression at 20 came through Wordsworth's poetry, which offered emotional depth beyond his father's utilitarian rationalism. Charles Darwin's 1859 Origin of Species implied humanity's animal origins. Matthew Arnold responded that humanities were essential for making human sense of scientific discoveries. Without ethical guidance, evolutionary theory might lead to moral nihilism. Arnold captured this era's disorientation in Dover Beach, hearing the sea of faith receding and leaving only human fidelity as consolation. Despite approaching horrors, remarkable humanists embodied optimism. Ludwig Zamenhof created Esperanto, a neutral bridge language to combat prejudice, publishing the first primer in 1887 as Doctoro Esperanto, Dr. Hopeful. Robert Ingersoll championed a simple creed. Happiness is the only good. The time to be happy is now. The place to be happy is here. The way to be happy is to make others so. Fascism's rise challenged humanist ideals profoundly. Thomas Mann identified humanism's fatal weakness, abandoning position after position when facing fanaticism. Yet, from California exile, he broadcast monthly BBC messages insisting mankind cannot accept the ultimate triumph of evil. Post-World War II, humanist organizations flourished globally. The 2022 Amsterdam Declaration emphasizes ethics, fulfillment, scientific inquiry, and rejects prejudice. Modern humanism prioritizes inclusivity over anti-religious rhetoric, recognizing its true adversaries aren't supernatural beliefs, but cruelty and suppressed freedom. 7 centuries after Petrarch and Boccaccio, their insight endures. We create meaning through connection, critical thinking, and empathy. In an age of algorithmic certainty and ideological tribalism, humanism offers something quietly radical: the conviction that we can figure things out together, that nothing human should be alien to us, and that happiness begins with making others happy.